Welcome to the NCJA podcast. This podcast series explores promising practices, provides guidance on strategic planning, and discusses how the Byrne Justice Assistance Grant Program, or Byrne JAG, contributes to improving justice systems across the country. We hope you enjoy it.
Greetings and thanks for listening. I'm Matt Wade, a program manager over data and evaluation here at NCJA on the Byrne JAG Training and Technical Assistance Team. Today, I'm pleased to be joined by Mike Fargin, data analyst with NCJA's OVC Vocus Center, and Kelly Ravenhorst, a senior program manager with the OVC Vocus Center. Both Mike and Kelly have recently joined NCJA from the great state of Nebraska, where Mike was the Statistical Analysis Center Director, and Kelly was the Federal Grants and Program Director at the Nebraska Crime Commission, the state administering agency. So both have a wealth of experience to share from different perspectives, and we're going to try to pick their brains today about the importance of data utilization and its relationship to Byrne JAG strategic planning. So with that said, let's jump right into the discussion, starting with Mike Fargin. Mike, can you please tell me a little bit more about your role at NCJA, as well as your previous experience?
Sure, yeah. Well, first, thanks for having us today. I've been looking forward to our conversation. So to begin, I'm the data analyst for the OVC Vocus Center. You might be asking yourself, well, what does the OVC Vocus Center do? Well, we support VOCA administrators, both compensation and assistance in managing and administering their VOCA funding to promote justice and healing for all victims of crime. Along with the director and two senior program managers, four of us provide technical support to administrators by offering opportunities for expert consultation, peer-to-peer collaboration, problem-solving, training, and, of course, innovation. The OVC Vocus Center strives to build a strong administrator-led support system, broaden victim services to historically underserved communities, and advance promising policies, practices, and programs. So you're probably wondering, what's my part? Well, I help gather the data and promote data-driven and evidence-based policies and practices for inclusion and outreach and training. I then get to analyze and summarize data and create visualizations of interrelated data sets to communicate findings. The work I do involves assisting in planning, developing and assessing victim service initiatives, crime victim compensation initiatives, and conducting analysis for the SAAs and other entities. Prior to coming on board with the OVC Vocus Center, I was the Statistical Analysis Center Director, otherwise known as the SAC at the Nebraska Crime Commission. I also oversaw the Nebraska Criminal Justice Information System, otherwise known as NCJIS, as the CJIS Project Manager. So I got to oversee both transactional data integration projects and applied data integration projects. I like to point out the difference between the two. So a simple way of thinking about it is transactional data integration is similar to moving a piano, and applied data integration is when you get to actually play the piano.
That's an interesting analogy. Can you tell me more about what the SAC, both the position and the office, does and what the relationship between SAAs and SACs looks like?
Yeah, good question. So each state, except for Texas, has a SAC. And as the SAC director, my mission was to produce unbiased and nonpartisan statistics to aid our criminal justice policy decision makers in the state, along with increasing access to public statistics. So I was lucky to work at an agency that had the SAC and the SAA co-located. This allowed us to partner with some ease internally. Now, I would encourage every SAA to get to know their SAC, because the SAC is familiar with multiple data sources nationally and probably at the state and local level, which are critical to the strategic planning process. And I want to remind you that every SAC's job, you know, is there's a focus on increasing data capacity and access. So a partnership will be very useful to both parties.
Great. Can you say more about how the relationship between the SAA and the SAC can improve the strategic planning process for both the statewide plan in general and for Byrne JAG funding specifically?
Sure. In Nebraska, the SAC was really becoming a strong partner in the strategic planning process. I was fortunate to also oversee the Uniform Crime Reporting Program, or UCR. And with that data, the goal would be to use actual data submitted to the UCR program from local law enforcement agencies in the state to better identify and validate the necessity of funding, with ultimately the goal being more targeted with the funding.
Great, and that makes sense to me. Why is data so important when establishing priorities for burn JAG spending?
We use the data to measure, and I like to remind people that we measure so that we can improve. In fact, it's really hard to know if you're improving if you're not collecting or analyzing relevant data. Quite simply, I'd like to think that everyone's underlying mission is to measure and improve the most important elements of the criminal justice system, and we need data to do it. Whether it's law enforcement, the courts, prevention, community supervision, quantifying the use of programs and their effectiveness is undeniably important.
Absolutely. So using data is critical, but what are some of the challenges to accessing, interpreting, and using data? And what are some potential solutions to these obstacles?
Yeah, Matt, that's a really good question, kind of three-parter. So regarding accessing, I'd say it depends on if the reporting party is mandated to report. If that's the case, it becomes an issue of accountability, right? If it isn't mandated and one is looking for data to access, then drafting the data agreement with the data provider is key. Regardless of whether it was mandated or not, or if the data is transactional or applied data integration, as I said before, a data agreement is ideal so both parties know their roles and responsibilities and have a record of how the data is going to be used. You kind of asked about interpreting the data. A good data recipient works with the data provider to understand all the data considerations within the data set. One of the reasons why some data providers tighten up access is because they've been burned with bad analysis before. Bad measurement practices allow people to behave in opportunistic ways, and no data provider wants to see their data used to misinform others. That's why it's an obligation for data analysts to provide perspective and note all data considerations of what's being reported or displayed. Regarding using the data, I think it's very important to build a reporting platform with your audience in mind, right? I do think the days of every agency producing a 100-page report is going the way of the fax machine. And more reporting parties have begun to deliver interactive point-and-click dashboards. So today's data audiences want to filter data by specific elements to answer questions or quite simply debunk misinformation. And they increasingly expect data to be presented in easy-to-understand visual format.
In fact, you actually oversaw the creation of an online criminal justice data dashboard with visualization functions in Nebraska, didn't you? Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. So we partnered with the Administrative Office of the Courts to utilize a data extract that we used for a sentencing dashboard. The dashboard was then disseminated quarterly to all the criminal justice partners throughout all branches of state government. Quite simply, the users could point and click by jurisdiction or crime category and demographics, and they could examine prison, probation, and jail sentencing at the statute level. The nice thing about it really was that everybody had access to the same figures.
That's awesome, and it sounds like a great tool. As you know, I'm a big believer in data visualization, and I'll talk about that briefly in a bit. But first, I want to bring Kelly Ravenhorse into the conversation. As I mentioned, Kelly was formerly the SAA's role in Nebraska and is now Senior Program Manager with the OVC Focus Center at NCJA. Kelly, can you say a little about your current role and then tell us how you use data as a Nebraska SAA overseeing the strategic planning process?
Sure. Thanks, Matt. I'm the Senior Program Manager for VOCA Assistance here at the OVC VOCA Center. So we provide training and technical assistance to VOCA assistants and compensation administrators and staff. So prior to joining NCJA in May of 2021, I was the Director of the Federal Grants and Programs at the Nebraska Crime Commission. In that position, I oversaw all federal grants received by our agency from the U.S. Department of Justice to include Burn JAG. So right as the pandemic was starting, we were in the midst of developing our new strategic plan. Data played a significant role in that process and was valuable in validating anecdotally what we were hearing from the criminal justice field across the state. We utilized data from surveys to inform the plan, as well as data that was captured and made available through the criminal justice data dashboard that Mike just discussed. All this data together really helped us understand what the funding priorities should be and what we should be addressing in the first few years of the plan. And then, you know, what could we address in year 4 or 5, for example? So a few months before I left the Crime Commission, we went through our grant review process. And the research analyst from Mike's division participated in our grant review. It was amazing. He provided such insight into what applicants put in their application versus what the data was showing. So it certainly helped make better informed decisions and improve the feedback we were able to provide to applicants in that regard.
Great. And Mike mentioned that close working relationships between the SAC and the SAA when it comes to strategic planning. Can you talk a little bit about how that worked? Because you really need both perspectives, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You do. Having both perspectives is valuable. So the SAA, you know, has their thumb on the pulse of the criminal justice field in their state, maybe even nationally. And they know what funding resources are available and the allowable uses. The SAC, they know the data. They know what types of data is available, what the limitations of the data are, what the data means, and can paint the overall picture, which may or may not validate what is being heard in the field by the SAA. But we know that even if a need that the field is saying exists isn't validated by the data, that doesn't mean it is not a need. It could just be a limitation in the data. So in the strategic planning process, it really takes both the SAA and the SAC to provide as transparent a picture as possible, and along with the team, figure out the best path forward. I like to think of it like going to the doctor, something I'm sure we all have experience with. The doctor listens to you describe your symptoms. They may do a physical exam to gather more information. And often they order some type of lab or diagnostic testing that, you know, is then read by another specialist, such as a radiologist. The doctor, they then take all of that information that they gathered to come up with the best diagnosis based on that information and their expertise as a medical professional. So what the SAC and the SAA do for strategic planning in the criminal justice field is very similar.
Great. And it sounds like that partnership can be really useful. We know that using data in strategic planning should be a circle from setting priorities to funding programs to using program evaluation and new data in the next round of planning. Can you talk about how, as an SAA, you use data in this way and whether there were any challenges to that at any point in the process?
Oh, yeah, for sure. There were definitely challenges for us in using data. When I started with the Crime Commission, it was about a year and a half before I even learned what the SAC was, and that was at a national meeting. So when I got back to the office, I learned that the SAC was in our agency and the person actually sat in the cubicle next to me. So things were operated in silos. So when Mike and I both became division directors, we knew it was important to remove those silos. We began collaborating with each other on projects and trying to have a basic understanding of what each side was doing. I think we were just on the cusp of using data more to inform the work done as the SAA. You know, there are a multitude of ways that data from the SAC could be utilized. One example is if you're funding an initiative to reduce gun violence, using the data from the SAC and the data reported by the program would help evaluate the efficacy of the initiative. There are some challenges that we were able to identify in our state. One was that we have heard from across the criminal justice field that mental health is the number one need. Anecdotally, we know that law enforcement often responds to calls that are due to mental health or substance use, but that doesn't get reported or tracked because, you know, no crime occurred. So we know it is an issue. We know it taxes the law enforcement resources. Now, how do we prove that? And how do we show, if funded, that the interventions and initiatives are working? So we were having that discussion internally. How can we build that information into the state criminal justice system to get aggregate data of law enforcement response to mental health and substance use?
Wow, those issues are very similar to what we hear from other SAAs. So from your experience, do you have any advice or lessons learned about using data in strategic planning that you'd like to share with our audience?
Yeah, you know, if you don't know who your SAC is, get to know them. They're a significant resource to the SAA. I learned a lot about data through my conversations with Mike and his team. I may not have always understood the words they were saying, but it really helped me see the importance of data throughout the planning and programming of our grant funds. There is a lot of data that the SAA can access themselves to use in planning, but of course, if you're able to partner with the SAC, it's a big help.
Thanks, Kelly and Mike. It's great to hear your different and complementary perspectives on using data in strategic planning and beyond. Do you guys have anything else you'd like to add?
Hey, Matt, I don't have anything to add, but if you wouldn't mind, I'd like to hear from you about the data visualization project you had mentioned to me earlier.
Absolutely. Being able to view one's own data through a tool like Power BI, which is the Microsoft data visualization and analysis we are using in the PMT pilot project, allows state administrators to quickly visualize important trends regarding their performance. In that project, NCJA has partnered with Redmayne Technology in four states, Arizona, Maryland, Montana, and Tennessee, to visualize Burn JAG Performance Management Tool, or PMT data. Using this PMT data from over three grant years, we have created four dashboards on JAG spending, trainings delivered on key criminal justice topics such as use of force and race and ethnic bias. We've looked at the use of task forces, and we're also examining an array of services offered such as reentry and prevention. Each dashboard report allows for the user to drill down to individual sub-awardees or direct awardees. So for example, with a few clicks, an SAA can see how JAG dollars were allocated for multiple award years or could determine if progress has been made toward training officers in de-escalation. We've been so successful utilizing these reports that we'll be expanding to other states in 2022.
Wow, it sounds pretty amazing. So how will this project help in strategic planning process for the SAAs and their staff?
Another benefit of visualizing data is that you can track whether JAG expenditures and activities are aligning with your state strategic plan. If they aren't, you can quickly adjust priorities or policies. In many cases, having visualized data at your fingertips can also eliminate the need for time-consuming manual processes to access and arrange PMT data. We hope that we can further expand the data in our Power BI workspace to include a broad array of types of data so that we can not only measure outputs, but also outcomes.
If listeners want to learn more about the project and are interested in getting involved, is there an opportunity for their participation?
Sure thing, Mike. As of today, we are expanding the PMT pilot project to four states in each quarter of the calendar year 2022. If a state is interested in participating or would like a demonstration of how visualizing PMT data works, they can contact me directly at mwade@ncjaa.org. With that, I'd like to thank you both again for speaking with us today. If any of our listeners would like to hear more about the great work being done at NCJA, they can simply shoot us an email at strategicplanning@ncjaa.org, and we will connect them with the right people. Thank you again for listening.